The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bella Signature Restaurant, Burger King, City of Hope, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, The Free National Movement, Kelly's Home Center, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, The Progressive Liberal Party, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can also call us on 325-4259. 325-4259. That's from NASA Oil. You can text us on 439-30-422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I am live. Live. Not pre-recorded. Not a previously recorded. A live show today, and I am still here in Shanghai, leaving for Beijing tomorrow, and it is now 1:20 a.m. on Wednesday morning, not Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning. Okay, it's on the track. These things, because I had to call my team and ask them, is our show etc. And in fact it was Wednesday for me but Tuesday for them. Tomorrow we have some special guests on to discuss the flooding mitigation issue in the Bahamas. This is courtesy of the Government and Public Policy Institute's Policy Wednesday. So this is a very important discussion we're going to have tomorrow. So stay tuned. You can tune in for that and probably get some questions answered about, you know, what they believe is giving rise to this flooding. Is this really a getting worse of circumstances? And what can be done about what we are experiencing now, among other things. So that's the Government of Public Policy at the University of Bahamas is hosting on Z Live a Policy Wednesday discussion with a team from Bronze. You'll recall that's Mr. Carlos Palacios's company that is very much involved and concerned about these kinds of issues. And we will be speaking with them tomorrow about the flooding issues we are experiencing in the Bahamas, especially when we have these heavy rainfalls. Some people say not even so heavy. Okay. Now, I have a couple of things I want to mention to you, but I do want to open the lines today for any questions or concerns you might have since it's been a while since we've been able to interact with each other. So I want to kind of give you today to ask whatever comments, ask whatever questions, or make whatever comments you want to make about any current issue, or not so current issue, but something that may be on your heart and mind. Okay. So again, the numbers to do that, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can also call us on 325-4316. 325-4259. That's the other number, sorry. 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. We may not get as many calls from the Family Islands as you might think, but they listen. You know, it's, but they're mostly only the one cable or by way of the link. But they listen. You hear from them. Grandmama, they listen. Oh, sugar, they listen. I can tell you that. But you can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So, again, it's an open line today for you to, you know, share whatever concerns, ask whatever questions. I can be helpful in answering for you. So I was listening to the news. I heard the Bahamas Nurses Union President, Muriel Lightborn, commenting on the situation of Pearl Williams, a 44-year veteran of the nursing profession, commenting on her suspension as a result of comments she made about what is happening at the public hospital, the Princess Margaret, and so forth. And she made some, I thought, some very reasonable comments about the circumstance in regard to the suspension being the limitation of the public hospital's authority to have available nurses, about the suspension pending investigation, and she didn't think it was necessary, especially in light of the challenge and difficulty of finding nurses and so forth. She then went on, however, to talk about her believing comments by former Minister of Health, Dr. Dwayne Sands, to be disingenuous, was her words, right? Disingenuous, because she indicated the condition of the hospital did not happen overnight. And so when I hear the former Minister of Health speak to this matter as if this is something new, it baffles me. She says, then I'm going to take offense because my nurse is taking offense to this matter. When I hear the Minister of Health speak to the unfairness, I take grave offense with that. Now, everyone has to decide what they think is necessary to make their case and the case that they're making. So I can't, you know, I can't take any exception to her comments about the disingenuous nature of the comments by the former minister of Minister of Health. But a couple of things do arise out of her comments, though. Okay, now, and I don't know what's in her heart and I don't know what's in her mind, but I know sometimes we feel compelled when we have to speak on issues that might appear political. we feel the need to balance our comments so that while I am criticizing this administration, I am also not letting the other one off the hook so nobody gets to cast me as FNM or PLPI. Or if I'm a supporter of, but I still have to criticize, I want them to know that I'm not just criticizing you or speaking on something that might not be popular for you, but because I'm also calling out the other people. Sometimes that plays into the thing. But a number of things come arise out of her comments. First of all, she says that Dr. Sand speaks of the issue as if it is something new. How do you tell if someone speaks of an issue as if it's something new? How do you tell if somebody does that? If an issue exists today, which her nurse indicates exists, the issue exists, not existed. Her nurse did not come on and say, well, you know, Prime Minister, do something about this because Dr. Sands does and other people before them didn't do anything about it. That was not at least that's not what we get in the public sphere. That's not what we hear from her thoughts per se. We hear what is happening, and she's making a genuine plea to the Prime Minister to do something. So if Dr. Sands speaks to what is being done today, what is happening today, how do you say he speaks as if it's something new? Should he have come on and say, you know, this has been going on from I was there, and it's so sad, you know, we didn't do anything about it, and now the Prime Minister should do something about it. Is that going to make it better? Is she going to then come back and say, yeah, we see Dr. Sands does, you know, all of them failing? How do you gather that he speaks as if it's something new? All right. So I didn't get that. I didn't get how you make that, draw that conclusion. Her nurse, if this has been so long standing, no other name, and this nurse didn't come up, Ms. Williams, and do this under that tenure, eh? Not this way. Make a plea to the Prime Minister, not this way. Nurses and doctors had other issues. They came out and talking about circumstances surrounding their negotiated contracts and all that kind of thing. And I know they had concerns, no question about that, but I'm saying they did not do it this way, because we haven't had this discussion about a nurse taking to social media to do it this way. So that is new. No, this didn't happen under the former or the ones before that. Not this way. So how do you say he spoke to it as if it was something new? That's the first thing. The other thing, though, is this, though. Let me tell you guys, right? When you are a former anything, when you are a former cabinet minister, when you are a former senator, when you are a former member of parliament, and you are speaking to an issue, it is necessary to recognize that you can and will be called out for comments related to things that can be said prevailed while you were there. And so maybe in anticipation of that, you can give comments that reflect the state of play as you see it. Because the truth is, this particular set of prevailing circumstances may not have prevailed when Dr. Sands was there. It may not have, but we don't know that. He didn't say that. We don't know that, right? So you always, I know me, when I speak about matters related to youth sports and culture, economic development, education, Ministry of Finance, things I know about, I try to give some context because I know human beings and that they will and will want to see, quote, fairness and balance, right? But you can't, to my mind, the president can't simply indicate that someone is being disingenuous or unfair if the contexts are not the same. you treat like alike. So unless you tell me that this is exactly what happened under these same things prevail under Dr. Sass, the kitchen them closed down. Really, the kitchen closed down and all this kind of stuff. What we are hearing, as far as we know, is new because ain't nobody tell us about that. Right? If the same circumstance didn't prevail then, there could have been another set of bad circumstances, mind you. But if the same circumstances don't prevail, then you can't treat unlike alike. The nurse hooked to social media. Did that happen before? Can the president point to a circumstance in which that happened before? So if, and Dr. Sands, this is the third thing. Dr. Sands is the chairman of a political party, prospective candidate for a political party. He is a medical professional. He is also a former minister of health. It doesn't matter what happened under his tenure. He has every right and capacity to speak to it, no matter how sometimes it comes across. He has a right. He's a citizen of the Bahamas. He has a right. We have this notion that you can shut up because you were in a thing before and there was something bad happening before. Let me ask you a question. If I was in a fire before and something happened and there's a fire today, should I shut my mouth? The fire happened and I wasn't able to stop it, or I wasn't, and the place burned down. But it's a fire happening right now. I should shut my mouth. I shouldn't say anything. Of course, you get to say, well, Lang, you know, you didn't do anything when the fire was happening under you. That's fine. But I should shut my mouth today and there's a fire? And given the roles I play? Come on. Come on. That's PLP, the FNM, and Prime Minister Davis speaks. He comments on things that the current, when he was leader of the opposition, that the current administration did, even though there were things that prevailed when he was in office. Huh? Michael Pintard comments on things that this current administration is doing, though some of those things prevailed when he was in office. But that's their job. That's what they're doing. They are public figures and political operators. So that's not going to change. So I just thought, you know, I just thought she her comments related to the nurse stood strongly on their own. To go at Dr. Sands, I don't understand how that helped the cause one bit, other than it could make the PLP side, the PLP administration, feel a little better that, oh, yeah, see, she called them out too. I didn't understand. I couldn't, maybe somebody could help me appreciate. You know, of course she could comment, of course. But, you know, just like I can have thoughts about how she commented, and I do. And when I listened, I was like, wow, that's odd. Well, this is open line. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue. And if you have any questions or comments, please text us, call us. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. trust money at work.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashi Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Hard work and opportunity are the keys to success. I started as a packing boy, a busboy, and a space cleaner. Now, I'm a businessman and a lawyer. As chairman of BAIC, I focus on creating new opportunities for Bahamian entrepreneurs and farmers. I'm Darren Pickstock, candidate for the PLP in Golden Isles. It would be an honor to work hard for Golden Isles and help with concerns, big and small. Let's work together to create new pathways to security and success for more Bahamians.
Della Signature Restaurant and Suite, Soldier Road, just north of Prince Charles Drive, is a Bahamian family-owned business. Rooms are available 24 hours, so you can swing by at any time. And let me tell you about Della Signature Restaurant. We got that real Bahamian breakfast. Boiled fish, stewed fish, and Johnny Cake, just like Grammy still dancing in the kitchen. We're serving up that elevated Della Signature flavor all day with lunch, dinner, and signature cocktail. So whether you're craving a morning flake, a late-night taste, or you just want to get away, book it at Della. Contact us at 356-3396 or visit our website, DellaSignatureSuites.net.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon for you in the Bahamas, for me, Wednesday, 1:40 a.m. in the morning in Shanghai. Can I tell you guys something again? These parts of China are really fascinating places, and with opportunity and possibilities. I had occasion to meet with many Asian practitioners who are interested in what is happening in the Bahamas, what is available in the Bahamas, what could be done in the Bahamas. Which is part of why the Ministry of Economic Affairs and the Financial Services Unit are here in Asia, trying to promote the Bahamas to that extent. I'm going to have a full show on this occasion, inclusive of some interviews I did. But really, this place is a fascinating place. I mean, for many reasons. And of course, I don't romanticize any place. You can see good in a place. Be honest, I haven't seen very many bad. I haven't seen it. That doesn't mean it does not exist. But I've seen many good things in Hong Kong, in Tokyo, in Narita, in Shanghai. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. No caller? Okay, no problems. Someone sent me a text that is interesting. This text says, good morning, Mr. Lang. I know this isn't your topic. We have open line today, so everything is my topic today. It says, good morning, Mr. Lang. I know this isn't your topic, but I will send you a picture of what my tenants found in the backyard, what people need to be aware of. Animal control took it for due process. Okay. This sent me a picture of a snake, which looks like a rattlesnake. Because you can see the tail, the rattle portion of the tail. Says we will need to bring some anti-venom in the country because we don't know how much of them, and it's a baby. That's incredible. We do have lots of trade taking place in the country. And we are bringing stuff in from different places, and these animals can make their way into these containers and other things. And if not spotted, they can make their way in our environment. Sometimes people are illegally importing some of these things too, and you never know. Then you have an open border, as we have. These things are possible. So thank you for the notice so that people can be aware. Can be aware of what is happening. Thank you very much for that. I try not to get frightened by these things. I try not to. I ain't no fan of no snake or none, but I didn't want anything intimidating me, making me scared and uncomfortable in my environment. I just try to be vigilant. Okay? And so me, I buy turpentine. I put turpentine inside my shed, around my shed, and I put stuff around my house. Not turpentine, I use other stuff. So I can try and ward off as many critters as I can that I don't want around me. So do what you have to do. Call animal control people and ask them what you could do, but be vigilant. Thank you for sharing that information. Appreciate it. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Comrade Lang. How you doing?
Right here, my friend. Right here, man.
Good. It sounds like you pick up a little cold or something.
Yeah, a little stuffy. That's really what it is. A little stuffy. Been a lot of moving, traveling, a little stuffy. But I'm good.
Yeah, that's okay. That's very good, very good. Take care. And, this is GNN, Grammy Boy. I called today because the situation with Pearls is very near and dear to me. You know, she's a wonderful Christian lady, long servant, civil servant. I want to let the nation know, in 44 years of Pearls service, do you know how many Bahamians and lives have passed directly through that lady on Shabbat, Mr. Lang?
I can really imagine.
I want to put that out there to all of her judge and juries out there and the Bahamian population. Second of all, it's very near and dear to me because when this happened, I spoke to Pearl directly that same day. And, you know, being a Christian lady and stuff, I asked her what she could do about it. And she said, well, you know, Marvin, I ain't gonna do. But I tell her, well, you ain't got to worry about that GNN on the case. And that is the reason why I'm not bragging or whatever, that I had to assist in getting this out there in the public sphere. Now, the only other thing I want to make clear, being a former shop steward, chief shop steward at Batelico, that what DHA did, and to somewhat extent what the union president was saying, was kind of out of whack. And the reason for that is the constitution of this country, the Bahamas, is the foundation. And I can liken that to building a house. As long as you put that foundation down right, anything else you build on top of that foundation must be in accordance with that foundation, or else it's not going to work. And in this case, I'm speaking about the policies. The constitution of this country give Ms. Pearl Williams Article 23 and 24, the freedom of association, the right to freedom of speech, association, to congregate, peaceful congregate, and all of that, to be black or white, whatever color they will be, all of that comes under that foundational constitution. That policy that PHA is trying to push on her now eliminates that right to freedom of speech and whatever. See, Pearl have to get off, you know. And when she gets off and she walk out of PMH yard or gate, she leave that coat of whatever that is right there with them, you know. And then she comes back in her car. And she does a little speech or whatever the case may be. And she send it to one friend of them and said, yeah, nothing to do with PMH. As long as she didn't do that on their premises. Last of all, what Pearl did was not a breach of contract. Because pertinent information of a person, place, or thing is confidential and private. Yes, I agree to that. What Pearl did was, it takes a different animal creature. It is a breach of her and the patient's working conditions. See, that's a different kettle of fish. That ain't no preaching, no contract. She ain't come tell them, CNN, mommy was on the ward and this and that. No. Those were hazardous conditions. And there is no signature, no contractual agreement that allows a person to sign on to that to keep her mouth shut. Like you say, if you know about when fire happening now, that you must keep your mouth shut. So PHA and their president of the union was wrong for even letting her get the suspension. And I'd like to thank you for letting GNN share.
Thanks a lot, ma'am. We appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. About the hospital, I was there a few years ago and compared to a visit a few 2 to 3 weeks ago, it has gotten worse in my opinion. Waited for more than 20 hours to be seen at A&E. Enjoy your trip and safe travels. Yeah, I don't know the particulars of the hospital, Princess Margaret, in terms of the situation that is being complained about. But again, apples and apples can be compared, but apples and orange cannot be compared. They can be So when you're commenting, you know, you got to comment on apples and apples. So I noticed that the taxi drivers out there by Nassau Cruz Port have been complaining. They're protesting even recently at their treatment. Their concerns are, from what I could gather from a news report, that they are not getting as much, business from the cruise port as they are supposed to be getting. They said they're supposed to be getting up to a certain percentage of the business to transport people from the cruise port, but they are getting less than 40%, 30%. And this is troubling to them. They therefore were protesting. They think that the cruise port is not treating them well appropriately. They blame the road traffic people. They're not treating them appropriately. They can't ply their vehicles beyond the gate and so forth and so forth, or in a certain area. So let me tell you all, right? There are some groupings in the Bahamas that have enormous political sensitivities. Enormous. Taxi drivers, straw vendors. they are like grassroots indicators of political hot buttons, right? Union workers, union leaders, churches, they tend to have enormous influence in the political environment of the Bahamas. And so many, 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 many people in the political environment take note when they start to yuck up their vexation. But you know, if you look at the taxi business as a business, I don't know that the taxis know this, but they are in ways a protected and a controlled business, right? On the one hand, they are a price-controlled business, right? So they can't charge any fare they want. Why? Why would the government of the Bahamas do that? Tell taxis you can't charge whatever fare you want. Well, they're controlling the, trying to control the cost to the, customers, the foreign or Bahamian customers. Yeah, but we don't control how much the hotels charge per night. We don't control what the restaurants charge per night. We don't control what the straw vendor and the herbs charge per each item. We don't control that, but we control the price of taxis and taxi fare. Why? You're controlling it for the Bahamian? Yeah, but you don't control every item in the food store. You don't control bank fees. You don't, and I'm not saying you should. I'm just talking about the inconsistency here. The taxi plates are controlled. You don't you give out as many plates as you want, but you don't you give out as many liquor licenses as you want. Give out as many food store licenses as you want, convenience store licenses as you want, jewelry store licenses as you want. What is it so unique about taxis as an economic actor? Or is it more because they are a political actor? Government policies ought to be rational. Rational means that you can justify whether you have seam or distinctions between things in the policy. Why are taxis treated so differently? Why must they have a certain percentage of the business? Why? You have small stores, food stores have to compete against big food stores. You don't tell them they have to have a certain percentage of the business. You have wholesalers in the Bahamas who also retail. You don't tell them to stop retailing. Why? Why are they treated that way? Why are you holding on to these plates like there's some kind of mighty something? And yes, the F&M administration, the PLP administration, all did it. I remember when I was in office, Mr. Ingram trying to establish a circumstance, and I was responsible to do it, of valuing a plate so that a plate might actually be given to a person as a ownership asset. That way they could use it to do to bank their stuff and all this kind of stuff, because the plates now belong to the government. I don't know if y'all know this. The license plates belong to the government. A person is only given license to use it. So I hear people, oh, my plate. You ain't own no plate. The government owns the plate, just like the government owns the casino licenses. No casino owns a license. So what is it seems like taxiing in the Bahamas is awash in politics. And believe it or not, taxis, y'all have to listen to me. You can get mad at me. The politics of your license situation is keeping you from exploiting and exploring your economic potential. You may not think so, but you are doing yourself a disservice by having all this government control over your license. And the government loves it. Love, these politicians love have that control. I get to give you the license. I'm going to take the license back from you. Why? But you could, what reason you could have to take a license back from somebody? Or they have too many? Why are they getting in the first place? Or the government gave it to them. Well, if the government gave it to them, did you take back all that the government gave to anybody? Or this happened under that administration? Well, what happened under your administration? Why are you taking back them particular licenses? Fraught with politics. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive, professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
If you come from the island, you know nothing is more important than family. I am Brian Brown, and the people of Golden Isles are my family. I'm proud to serve my neighbors and friends. I'm asking for your vote to be your next MP. I believe in showing up all the time, not just election time. So on November 24th...
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon for you, Wednesday morning for me. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. The islands on 242-300-5720. Open line today. If you have any questions, concerns you want to mention, please feel free to do so. It's been a while. We had a few pre-recorded shows and prior recorded shows, and some previously recorded shows. So I thought we'd open up the line today. Don't forget, tomorrow we have Bronze with us, a team from Bronze, courtesy of the Government and Public Policy Institute, University of Bahamas, to speak about the flooding mitigation issue here in the Bahamas. And so we're looking forward to what they might be able to tell us about why we are, if we are seeing a worsening situation, what is there to be done about it. So before we took our break, I was talking about taxis. Let me tell you something, right? I can't be worried that you get angry because I may make certain comments. If those comments are consistent with my understanding of how the world works, or how I have been trained or educated, right? And I am saying to taxi drivers in the Bahamas that the political situation surrounding your profession is holding you back. see, sometimes the tourism season is very good, and so you get to make good money, and at those times you have nothing to say, things are great, God is good, and so forth. And then other times when the situation is not so good, you complain and you. But the truth of the matter is, you are in a controlled business. You are not in a real business in terms of free business, free enterprise. You're not, because you have the government controlling. They own your franchise, right? The government now. They own your franchise. They tell you how much you could charge, where you could be, who you could pick up and can't pick up. Oh, the tall people get this and this people. Why? Why? All these other businesses in the Bahamas got to go out there and fight in the marketplace to be able to get their business. All of them, they got to go advertise. They have to look at their pricing models. They have to look at their cost structure. And then they go out there and they offer themselves to the public. They have to compete in a certain way to the public. Not you and the tax and the bus people. The government is your, the government tell the people how much to pay you. Government tell you where you could go and can't go. And you think, for the most part, I suppose, that's great, that's wonderful. That works for us because we're protected. You're being protected into mediocrity in some instances. You're being protected into limited opportunity in others. That's the reality. And don't tell me, my mother was a taxi driver for a time. I mean, she's awake. I used to wake up in the morning. Sometimes she'd carry me with her. She had some tourists to carry all the way out east. Right, this privilege, and the government gave you the license, and oh, you beholden to the government. They gave you the license. That's nonsense in the 21st century Bahamas, man. When you get a license to go to open up a store, nobody goes around and say, oh, the government gave me a license. I'm so grateful. I mean, that's nonsense. Nonsense. Stick. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Right,
hey,
here, buddy.
What's going on?
Boy, look here. What prompted me to call? You talking about this taxi. And I had an experience. My madam, she came from the airport. Not far, right from the airport to Curl Harbor. That's about 7 miles.
You bubbling? I don't know if that's me or you, but you're bubbling. I don't know if they can hear you, but I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah. Yeah, I can hear you.
I said, now, my madam, right? She came only about 7 miles from airport to Curl Harbor, and not even the bottom there, right at the front entrance. And not only about 7 miles. You know what that taxi driver charged her? $60.
How much?
You hear me? 60.
60.
Yeah. $6. I said, why didn't, she tried to call me. And I find that to be very, very outrageous. Then another time again, the same distance, $45.
But let me tell you something. They ought to have, they have regulated fares, though. So there's a zone. There's a zoning of the taxi's fare so that if you're going from the airport to downtown, from the airport to Cable Beach, from the airport to Paradise Island, etc., there are regulated fees for that. Right?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is the government controls these fees and what have you, but the government will not simply do the one thing that could ensure someone that they get fairness, is make a taxi driver, in order to be on the road, have a meter. Right? Yeah, if you have a certain amount per distance, then I, the customer, as I do here in China, can look on the meter and see, oh, I am now at 800 RMBs.
Mm-hmm.
And I nobody right. needed them to shock me, because you're right. I've been through that, where they charge it $35 sometimes, $20 another time, et cetera, because they have these ranges or something by zone. But I can't see a meter. You remember when they used to have meters in the taxi?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was the norm of the day.
You didn't have no fussing then, eh? And you can't tell me in the 21st century Bahamas, a taxi driver can't have a meter in his car or her car.
So like you, I tell you, that's only 7 miles. That's roughly 7, 8.
Yeah, that's crazy.
7 miles.
That's absolutely crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
See, what the government need to do, and they don't have no meter. Oh, nobody do the meter. Guess what? You got the speedometer in your car. How much miles you make? That could be a.
But you don't. But brother. Seriously though. Seriously. The government, you don't know, the speedometer is irrelevant. There is, in the taxi profession all over the world, such a thing called a meter. Well, you have it on your power. Well, and that's all a taxi driver needs is a meter, and the government, if it wants to continue to regulate, sets a rate. It's an economic rate for the taxi driver.
Well, I think
we run
a
subpar profession.
And I glad you bring that up. I say I can call to bring that up. That distance is outrageous. And then I don't know, but they have to do something. It looks like nobody's maintaining no meter no more. I don't think that way no more. So they got
and
to come politician, with
politicians, politicians,
you have your speed.
Politicians are scared.
So that could
politicians are scared of taxi drivers. They're scared of taxi drivers. They are afraid.
Yeah. But another thing I wanted to mention, I mentioned you when you was on here with the John Canoe group changing the name, and you say you can't just pop up one week and get the name. Now, this thing will be another saga, because you notice the appeal court sound like they give the world famous Valley Boys the go ahead appeal or whatever. And I think they might be successful with that. And then here we go again,
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. I have something to say about that. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good day. How you doing?
I'm right here, man. What's going on?
I see you got a great show on today.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I hear you talking about the taxi drivers, but I have a concern. About the government really giving good incentive to small business people with, you know, the little grocery stores and stuff. Now, are you still there?
Incentives for small business
One of the things I noticed is this. With the small businesses, especially the little food stores and stuff, Bahamians are at a big disadvantage now. There are so many stores, non-Bahamian businesses that in the competition. It's a big problem for the small grocery stores. We have Chinese and other stuff. They seem to really take the market. Most of the small businesses for Bahamians and the grocery stores and stuff are drying
up. But Orlando, but help me out with something. The Chinese who have the grocery stores, do you know who owns the who got the license? Do you know that they are not Bahamians of Chinese descent?
Well, it could be. In that case,
So let's stop there. This is a great issue you're raising, but I want you to help me with something. So let's just suppose they are Chinese. They are Bahamians of Chinese descent. Let's just suppose that is true, right?
Yeah.
And they are getting more business than you, than a Bahamian who is not of Chinese descent. Do you think that they are getting more business because they are Bahamians of Chinese descent, or are they doing something better to cause you, the Bahamian, to be spending with them?
Well, I think it could be more than one reason. One of the reasons I do believe is that they are able to actually merchandise better than us because of the inherent experience.
Inherent because experience? What do you mean inherent experience?
When I say that, I mean that Chinese of commerce than we do. And so they're in a better position to navigate better than us.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Is Rupert Roberts a Bahamian?
Yes, he is.
Does he not have the biggest grocery chain in the Bahamas?
Yes, he had a good lead.
Yeah, so what happened? He no Chinese?
No, he's not.
I know a number of other successful operators of both convenience stores and food stores, whether the butlers or other people. So, you know, the Benabies. What that have to do with being Chinese?
Yes. But for the most part, what I'm looking at, the reality is most small black businesses are drying up.
Yeah, but they got to ask. We have to ask. So let me tell you something, right? Most of the business, these local businesses, these local food stores, who's shopping at them for the most part? Let me ask you, Bahamians or non-Bahamians?
The small stores?
Yeah. Who's shopping at them?
We have a mixture.
No. In the majority, who's shopping at them, man?
The majority of them, I think most of the Haitians.
Okay, thanks, man. I appreciate you calling. All right. Thanks a lot. Okay. Let me tell you something. You are not going to get anywhere solving your problems by having these unfounded details about what is happening with you. I mean, where do you live? I go in stores on Prince Charles Drive. I go in stores on Carmichael Road and so forth. And when I go inside there, I see Bahamians and mostly, but I see some Haitians, people, or at least people who sign there and so forth and so forth. But the vast majority of people in the country is Bahamians, man. What are you talking about? Businesses that cater to local customers win or lose on the patronage of the customers. So if the Chinese Bahamian or Chinese business person is winning, then it's the Bahamians who are helping them win. To put that on Haitians is absolute stupidity. Absolute nonsense. You want a narrative in your head and you want to keep pushing that narrative. It is absolute nonsense. The winners of businesses in this country are determined by Bahamians in the local sphere. Bahamians patronize it, and therefore, and you hear the Bahamian child again, and the Chinese, they got this cheaper again, and this one I got. But we want to deny that. We want to think, oh, it's the Haitians who's helping them survive? Seriously? And please, when you call the show, please, have some regard, man. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Lang.
What's going on? Right there, man, what's going on?
You're still in foreign?
Yeah. Still away. Yeah.
I call him because I've fallen up on a fellow who say that the taxi driver overcharged his madam to go to call Harbor. I call my buddy who in the limousine business and have several vehicles and live in call Harbor, and I ask him what's the distance from the airport to call Harbor. He's a man, four miles. He's a 4 mile. So these people, like you say, the government could, you know, give publication as to what rates may be from certain points on the island. But, so people could have an
Brother, help me though. Help me. You're a sensible person because you did your research, you call your friend, so forth. Let me ask you a question. Why in the 21st century Bahamas can a taxi not be required to have a meter? In the 21st century Bahamas?
If the government required, they got to have it.
I'm asking you, what could be the complication in that?
That should be government, right? Regulation. But I just call him, and he's one of them. He have
must be about 6 years ago. He is a Lamo operator.
Call him back. Call him back. Call him back and ask him to tell you what the case would be against having meters, please. And see what he tells you and call me back.
He says he's on my job, so get up the link.
I appreciate that. But somebody call some. If you know a taxi driver, tell them make a case why they should not meet us in their vehicles, please. Thank you very much. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead. Hi. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. This text says, thanks for trying to lift us above our faulty prejudices. I'm going to try, Bishop. It's all this nonsense talk only can cause people to focus on the wrong things and never get the solutions they require. I mean, you got to be insane. Everything in this country boils down to the Haitians now. Everything. For some people. The crime, Haitians. The hospital problems, Haitians. I mean, I'm not saying that illegal immigration isn't a problem. I'm not saying that we don't have some issues related to foreign persons in the country. But I mean, come on, man. At least, I mean, think. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you?
Hey, right here, man. How are you?
Okay, I'm okay. I wonder if you could help me out with this. When a person purchases a piece of property, they get a mortgage through the bank to purchase a property. When they complete the mortgage, they're supposed to be given their papers back, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem I have with what this particular individual told me, and I thought it was illegal. Why is the bank holding on after you complete the payment, why is the bank refusing to give the person the property? Are the papers to the properties at the time of the completion of the mortgage?
Say something about inland revenue. They said something about inland revenue.
Yeah, what they're saying is that the person have to show that they complete the property, the payment, the tax payment is paid off. And I feel that's illegal. I feel that the purchaser and the bank, and once the purchaser have completed that the necessary mortgage payment, I think at that point the person should be given their papers. Am I right or wrong? How do you feel about that?
Well, you could think that, my friend. You could think that, and I understand why you might think that. But quite frankly, there is an arrangement in law such that the banks now act almost like revenue collectors or insurers for the government of the Bahamas, because that's how the government of the Bahamas wants it. That's how it makes sure that there are no encumbrances on the property related to your outstanding taxes.
That's not the bank, that's the law, that's the government. I'm thinking it would be considered illegal if somebody challenges.
It's not illegal. Something is only illegal if it's against the law. If the law permits it, it's not illegal. And I'm telling you, go talk to your lawmakers, because the law permits it.
I think that's another way of oppressing the Bahamian people. You know, that's my opinion. Because
Hold on. This is Z Live. Your language, your terminology, and your comments matter. It's not an oppression. It is not an oppression for the government to attempt to ensure that taxes due it are paid. Because if you don't pay your taxes, then the government could say you are oppressing the country because they need the taxes to run the country. So it's a way of collecting due revenue.
But your contract with the bank
also has obligations related to your payment of your taxes on the asset. Because if you don't pay that tax on the asset, you encumber the asset, because now you owe the government, and the government is the first call on your liabilities.
Uh-huh. I just found it strange. I thought I'd call you to
No, it is that. Strange. It isn't strange. It's just something you're not aware of. That's all it is. And it's not strange. You're just not aware of it. And you have an argument that you could try to establish, but it has no basis in law.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Okay, take care. Let me tell you guys something, right? I keep telling you guys, you have all these members of parliament. These candidates coming to you, they won't be members of parliament. They don't talk to you about the laws to amend or introduce. They go in the House of Assembly and they do things, and you really don't pay attention. You want to know if they can pave my road. You want to know if they are going to fix my park. These are the kinds of things you want to know, and that's fine. But then you don't take that much concern about the laws that are impacting your life. And so then you go to a situation, you go like, well, how in the world is this happening? You know how it's happening? It's happening because it's the law. It's the law. The government of the Bahamas over the last few years, I'm not talking this David's administration, but over the last few years have created scenarios in which at many a points when you try to get your land, when you try to get your business something done, the government's question is, are your taxes paid? And you won't get them. You won't get them until that has happened. Because all along the line, you haven't done it and you weren't concerned as much. And then you now need something to be done. You want your papers, you want your this, and then you go, and people say, well, I can't complete the transaction because you have outstanding license, you have outstanding taxes. And they aren't doing that. The banks aren't doing that because they just really nearly decided that. They're doing that because the government has put them in a situation where they need to do it. That's not oppression. That's called the law and how it operates. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands, in all seasons.
Some people come and go. Others work for you every single day, whether through free classes for students or programs for the elderly. We've been building Golden Isles for years, while others waited for their time to shine. I'm Brian Brown, and I know it is something you earn. On November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we're going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
There is a new king in town, and the only place to find him is at Burger King Nassau. Introducing the Cheesy Ring King, featuring two juicy flame-grilled beef patties stacked with American cheese, crisp bacon, sweet barbecue sauce, honey mustard, and the crown jewel. Three golden mozzarella rings served on a soft, buttery, and it's cheesier. Want just cheese rings? They're available as a side, too. Get the Cheesy Ring King at any of Burger King Nassau's seven locations. Available for a limited time only.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity,
opportunity or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.b6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. If you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, Mr. Lang, how are you doing? Maybe two or three points. The first point,
sure.
Not as a taxi owner, but I'm going to tell you why I don't want no meter in my car if I get one. I have to operate smart and more efficient.
You mean you can't cheat me, and if I go on right by Tropical Garden, you can charge me $30 because the meter might say it's only $7.50.
Yeah, see, I said, and then since you know your way around New Providence, I can't pass Bahama to take you to from downtown. I pass Bahama to take you to the shopping center at the Mall of Marathon.
I got you.
You know New Providence, so that kind of changes the dynamics of what it is. But for the taxi drivers, have to realize if the Uber guys are charging $5, $6, and $7 to run you around New Providence, do you really think that they are losing money just doing that, even without a license?
You have Uber. Is there Uber in Nassau?
Yeah, it's part of the informal economy.
But there's no Uber operations in Nassau.
No, not in the sense of the corporate name, but in the in part of what they call an informal gig economy.
I can actually go on my phone and book a driver like that.
Yeah, if I can add you to a couple of groups. There's plenty. They got groups where they have people that congregate and people that actually use them, and they say, "I'm available. This place, and I'm downtown, or place, whatever. Does anybody need a service?"
Okay, I see. So that's an illegal operation. It ain't licensed by the government.
Yes, right. It's not licensed by the government, but it's part of the gig. What do you call the gig economy?
Yeah, I understand.
Right. Yeah. So, but they exist, and people in Bahamas are using them, probably about hundreds and thousands. I can tell you, it's a huge business here in Grand Bahama. You know.
But you know what I can understand. In China, when I was in Japan, when I tried to get Uber to certain places, what they did, the Uber app said, Uber not available, but you can use a taxi. Do you want a taxi? And so I confirmed I wanted a taxi, and the taxi came. So Uber and the taxis have a partnership. And my son pointed this out to me, actually, as the case, asking me why Uber. And I told him that the taxis don't want it and so forth. He said, but Uber works with taxis.
They do, actually. About right before Dorian, I don't know the reverend name, but I won't call his name anyway, but he flew me to Nassau, and I met with the taxi union and everything else concerning it. And the concept that I proposed to them on his behalf was combining food delivery, and I mean from restaurants as well as from the food stores, even not just a major food store, along with the taxi service,
Alan. Uber has an infrastructure. The taxi people can be a part of that infrastructure. And that includes Uber Eats.
Yes, that's it. And the groceries.
Yeah. Anyway.
So that's it. But the second and final thing for me to go is that my concern is the data protection bill that just passed, right? What is my concern is that, yes, it doesn't go far enough to address the issues, meaning access for freedom of information, identify information separate from data, as well as it doesn't make preparations for what where technology is going tomorrow. It's basically a stopgap measure from 2003 to now. Also within the data protection, there's a lot of missing things. And one of the things that really concern me is concerning the biometrics. I attended a meeting here in Grand Bahama with the data commissioner, with the parliamentary commissioners and other consultants. And they ultimately admitted there is no biometric protection existing in the Bahamas since 2003. And the current data from 2003 is not even sufficient to address the concerns of our current in the market. And so I just believe that we have a unique opportunity to look at data protection and data sovereignty, because almost every economy in existence today, more so accelerated by the AI economy, depends on data as its fuel. And so with us protecting it and doing what is necessary to make us a place that not only protects us, but attractive for other people. But under the same current data bill, 2025, I'm concerned that there's no special oversight for election-related personal biometric data, because there's no algorithmic accountability for voter profiling tools. There's no prohibition on micro-targeting using those sensitive data. And there's no methodology of showing me the systems, the protocols and systems for which these data will be protected.
Let's have a talk on that on another day where you can get into it with a bit more detail. Appreciate that.
Yes, but thank you so much. But I'm simply saying this, or just in the ending. We keep talking about improper pay for teachers and nurses and all these other people. The problem is we have to grow the economy, because that's where government gets its taxes from, to pay them so they can be competitive with the world. So we must move to the bigger conversation, not of their pay, but how do we generate the money to be able to pay them? Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Okay, I just want to piggyback off what the gentleman was saying concerning the mortgage. Now, I think I went down that same road. But what happens when you go into the bank, you pay off your mortgage, they would say, now you have to go over to Inland Revenue and get a certificate, which would, if your certificate is saying zero, then you go, right? Then they, if you have any loans, anything you owe the bank, they can clear all that up first before they give you that mortgage. And then afterwards, they would tell you, you have to pay for the satisfaction letter. So until you pay for that, you're not going to get that mortgage papers. So I hope that caller was listening to hear what I had to say, because I went on that same road.
Yeah, but the important thing is that what he needed, he understood that. But I think the important thing is for him to understand that what the bank is doing is a part of their lawful obligation. So the government put that requirement on them.
Right.
Because that's a way the government ensures that it can collect its taxes.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much, though.
Thank you, too.
Okay, ma. Appreciate it. Let me tell you something. And discipline is a serious thing. This text says, and this is coming from a very knowledgeable person about these matters. Say, hi, Shivago. What you say is true regarding the government has the right to obtain its real property taxes through existing mortgage on a property. However, it is important to note, as far as I'm aware, no prior government of the Bahamas has ever employed this extreme and extraordinary measure against homeowners. This Davis PLP is the first ever PLP or FNM to employ such extreme and extraordinary measures against homeowners, especially when so little was done to inform the public beforehand as to the intended implementation of such extreme and extraordinary measures against homeowners. In fact, many homeowners have complained that they were near the end of their mortgage, similar to the caller, but given the amount of property taxes outstate, only had 2 or 3 years to finish paying their mortgage. All of a sudden, their mortgages were extended several years. It was not right to just drop that on homeowners, even though they had the right to, when it was never done by Pindling, Ingram, Christie, or Minnis. I simply say, I know all of this is true, but I simply say it is a lawful measure. So don't cuss the bank. It is a lawful measure. The law imposed this obligation on the banks so that the government could collect its revenue. Now, banks, if they aren't being careful to put this information to people up front and say these are the, you know, people get excited about loans. And so when the loan come in, oh, they're excited. And the bank say, well, you know, this is the case, right? They ain't even listening to that. They just know I sign and I get this money jacked and I can go buy this property. I can go build this house. And oh, sugar, life is good. Until. So banks should fulfill their disclosure obligations. Lawful and otherwise, because sometimes you do things that may be above what the law requires, because the law can set minimum standards. But at the end of the day, the banks are not doing anything unlawful. That's what the gentleman kept saying. He kept saying he don't think that's right. He don't think that's there. He thinks you have a contract between you and you got to read the whole contract and you have to know the law. Okay? You have to know the law. What the law says. So sometimes that's, we don't know. And that's what I told him. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host here, Marvelous Sponsors. We'll be back after this final break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you can't proclaim this.
If you come from the island, you know nothing is more important than family. I am Brian Brown, and the people of Golden Isles are my family. I am proud to serve my neighbors and friends. I'm asking for your vote to be your next MP. I believe in showing up all the time, not just election time. So on November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we are going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National
Great
Movement.
News! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Attention pizza lovers! Marco's is getting bigger and better! We're offering a deal that can't be missed! Head in and order a mouth-watering large one-topping pizza for just $10! You heard right, just $10! This offer is only available at our Southwest Vernon Road, Robinson Road, and Prince Charles locations. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. This amazing carryout offer is available for a limited time only.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Some people come and go. Others work for you every single day, whether through free classes for students or programs for the elderly. We've been building Golden Isles for years, while others waited for their time to shine. I'm Brian Brown, and I know it is something you earned. On November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we're going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. Thank you. It was an open show. Thank you guys for contributing. And listen to me. That is the last thing I want to mention today. there's a saying, Dr. Miles Monroe used to say it too, that you shouldn't let the perfect in the way of the good. And sometimes you're trying to do the perfect thing, which might not be possible, stops you from doing the good thing. And that came to my mind because for years and years and years in the Bahamas, Bahamians and tourists alike looked forward to going to Bay Street to do what? On Boxing Day, on New Year's Day, enjoy their junk canoe parades. Oh, the sights, the sounds, the beautiful costuming, etc. That was just marvelous for years and years and years and years. We did this when there were no bleachers downtown, when we just had to stand up, go there early in the morning, but when the groups arrive, you get to, and then afterwards you're tired as nobody business, and you go home and you try to sleep all day. And you enjoyed it, and you talked about it, Saxons versus the Valley Boys versus the One Family versus Roots, and you talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And it was great. It was fantastic. Then we got some ideas, the government, and let's improve this. Well, you know, the junk canoe groups need some support for their effort, so you give them some money. It's called it seed money. Yeah, some money, you know. And then you decide, you know, let's put some bleachers on there. So Algernon Island was the first to begin doing some substantial bleaching, as far as I remember. And then I followed him, and we did. I raised the bleachers in Rawson Square higher, so you were sitting on them high bleachers. I had people construct those bleachers. Then Neville Wisdom introduced a private arrangement in which they additionally installed bleachers and so forth. But all the while, the main show was the junk canoe groups showing up there, doing their thing. Right? And we enjoyed it for years and years and years and years. We enjoyed it, right? We started charging people. They didn't complain. They started paying for them junk canoe tickets and so forth. And sometimes they raised the tickets and they complained, but they got the tickets, no problem. And the parades were enjoyed by the Governor General, enjoyed by the Prime Minister, enjoyed by ministers, enjoyed by members of Parliament and senators and senior civil public officials, rich people, poor people, average people. Everybody enjoyed the parade. It looks to me like, are we trying to destroy junk canoe in daily days? Listen, what are we trying to do? Let me tell you something. John Canoe had some issues, but it wasn't broken. Because if it was broken, people wouldn't have been going to it all them years down Bay Street the way it was. John Canoe wasn't broken. What you fixing? My God. We about to collapse junk canoe for what? Not because the junk canoeers can't do costuming. Not because the junk canoeers can't do music. Not because the junk canoeers can't do dance. Because the politics and bureaucracy around the event has got some stuff going on to try and do what to it? To deprive people of this marvelous cultural expression? Man, let me tell you something. Sometimes it's easier just to go back to basics and let a thing be what it is. What is it that you think junk canoe is going to be? You think junk canoe is going to be some serious commercial enterprise that's going to make somebody and some group of people rich? All right. Keep working on that. Junk canoe is supposed to be us expressing ourselves. The state sponsors it because it is a cultural, national cultural expression that is us, enjoyed by us. What in the world are we doing? We loved going out there.
watching those groups perform, rowing the judges after the victory because we say the Saxons get cheated, the Valley get cheated, the Roots got cheated. What are we fixing? Are you all serious? Anyway, keep trying. Keep trying. Keep trying. I just marvel at it. I really do, honestly. You know, so let me tell you all something. Sometimes things develop organically, right? Meaning like there's nothing external or any mechanical something that's driving its development. It's really the internals of a thing is just naturally producing these results in its environment. That's what we mean by it's growing organically. It's a developing organically, right? And it produces a beauty. I mean, think about what Junkanoo became without the government intervention. What it became to us over time, the gorgeousness, the marvelousness of the music. And we enjoyed it. We continue to enjoy it. And let me ask you all a question. Is what's happening to Junkanoo now being driven by the Junkanoos or driven by the politicians? And the bureaucracy and the appointees of the politicians. Who is driving what? But I can tell you one thing. If we're not careful, we are going to broke what was fixed and fail to fix what's broken. And all that gorgeousness, all that marvelous music, all that rhythmic beating of our hearts, and all that bragging and pride is going to be diminished as we get caught up in, well, I ain't going to do my parade over here. If we going to do our parade over here. When the heck? Man, come on. Come on. Come on. Don't do that to Junkanoo. I'm saying, listen, let me tell you something. Sometimes good intentions meet with bad results. They say hell is paved with good intentions. If you ain't no Junkanoo and don't understand Junkanoo at its core, don't fool with Junkanoo. Don't fool with Junkanoo. Them artists and the musicians and them dancers, do as much as you can do to simply allow them to come to Bay Street the way they've been coming to Bay Street and to do for the Bahamian public and the visitors what they have been doing for years without any encumbrance from any third party. I mean, are you all serious? Every time human beings try to fix something but what ain't broken, it is get broke and can't fix no more. It's Texas. Thank you, Zhivago, for your comments on Junkanoo and the mess that's being made of it. It's just sickening to me as a 62-year-old from Mason's Edition. I understand. I understand. See, you got to let a thing be a thing, man. Right? It's just like children playing, right? They in their environment, they playing, and they having a ball, et cetera, et cetera. They ain't bothering nobody, you know, and they ain't endangering themselves. And all of a sudden, somebody decide, oh, y'all ain't organized enough, stuff running up and down. So, but what you talking about? Leave them children, let them be children. Y'all better leave these Junkanoos and let them be Junkanoos. I when I was minister responsible for youth sports and culture, my task was trying to make the audience of Junkanoo more better accommodated. That's why I looked at having those higher beaches on both sides of Rawson Square. I installed the beaches on Shirley, the Governor General's prize for Shirley Street to try to make sure the performance on Shirley Street didn't diminish because everybody was only performing for Bay Street. That was about the audience, man. I wasn't messing with them Junkanoos. I mean, what? Anyway, man, God bless you all. It's now 3 o'clock in the morning.
I can't go sleep because I have a flight. I can get up for 6 o'clock. Y'all have a marvelous, marvelous remainder of your day. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Take care. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. Like you,